single day. This is my Bible. My Bible is the Word of God. And God's Word is the revelation of His will for my life. Whatever it says I am, that's what I am. Whatever it says I can do, I can do it. Whatever it says I have, I claim it in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we had to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Today we are going to continue in our series of messages on, are you problem focused or word focused? That is a question you should ask yourself. Are you problem focused or word focused? Turn with me to John chapter 16, our foundation text. Remember, as I say, when the word of God is coming to you, it comes to me first, because I sometimes come here. See, we all got different problems, praise God.
Amen.
We all got different areas that we're having to trust God for. See, for me, as the pastor of the church, sometimes I have to trust God for things going on in the church. And see, where the devil tempts you to quit in whatever area you're dealing with, the devil also tempts me in the areas that I'm, to quit in the areas I'm in. And so, you know, sometimes if you come on a Tuesday or whatever, and nobody's there, and then you start crying to God and saying, God, nobody's here. And God says, are you problem focused or are you focused on my word? See, what God says to me, He's saying back to you. What area is it that you are dealing with in your life? Have you looked to the word of God? See, instead of me looking at empty chairs or nobody being here on the day that I'm supposed to be speaking or preaching or whatever have you, I have to go to the scriptures, promises. For example, I have to go to Acts that says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Praise God.
Amen.
I have to focus on scriptures like that. I have to focus on scriptures from Isaiah that talks about how God will speak to the north and say, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. I have to focus on those scriptures instead of focusing on empty chairs or who's not here this Sunday or who didn't show up that Sunday or this or that. Praise God. That's just an example from my personal struggles, but you have your own personal struggles, glory to God. Did you look up scriptures for those struggles? Or did you just go out and cry to God and say, these things ain't working out for me? Which one did you do? Did you do what I did the first time? Or are you doing now what I'm doing now, which is focusing on what the word of God says? Hallelujah.
Amen.
You've got to learn to be word focused and not problem focused. So the reason why you can be word focused is because, number one, Jesus has overcome, already conquered, already dealt with the source of your problem. Let's look at John chapter 16, verse 33. And he says, these things I have spoken unto you. Jesus has spoken to you, praise God. When Jesus speaks, is Jesus God?
Yes.
So when he speaks, is that the word of God?
Yes. Amen.
So if God speaks, then God is speaking the word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. God wants you to have peace. He wants you to have certainty in every situation. He doesn't want you being tossed to and fro by every wind. He wants you to have peace and stability and strength in your mind and your heart. Praise God.
Amen.
Glory to God. So he says that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. He didn't say might. He didn't say it's a possibility that you might have tribulation. No, he said you will have it. That word shall means you are guaranteed to have tribulation. Praise God. In the world, you shall have tribulation. While we are in this world, and if I get to it today, I will explain to you why, from the scriptures, why we are still in this world. But in this world, you will have trouble. You will have problems. You will have difficulties. That's what the word tribulation is. Tribulation means a tight spot. you will have tribulation. But he doesn't stop there. Praise God. Thank the name of the Lord. He doesn't stop by saying, well, you're going to have them. A lot of preachers stop there. Well, the Bible says in the world you're going to have tribulation. Glory to God. No, we're going to have to just hang on until Jesus comes. No. In the world you shall have tribulation, but he says, but. Say but.
But.
Say but.
But.
When I was in school, they told me that but is a conjunction that connects two thoughts together. Mm-hmm. That means if there's a but, that means that the first thought was not finished yet.
Yes.
So he says, but be of good cheer. Now, wait a minute, you just told me I'm going to have trouble. You left me stuck here, and you tell me I'm going to have trouble, but then you tell me to be of good cheer. How am I supposed to be happy when there's trouble all around me? Mm-hmm. Why? I have overcome the world. Praise God.
Yes.
Jesus has conquered the world. Now, last week, we talked about who is in charge of this world. Is God in charge of this world?
Yes.
Satan.
No.
Satan.
Remember, see, I wasn't paying attention. Last week, we told you that the Bible says that Satan is the prince of this world. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, yes, God is the sovereign of the universe. He is, and theoretically speaking, he is in charge. But however, he had delegated the earth to man. Man delegated his or abdicated his responsibility to Satan, and so therefore Satan became in charge of the world. Now Jesus, thank God, has been given all authority in heaven and in earth. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. So now Jesus is the rightful sovereign of the world, but yet Satan still rules because Jesus has not yet put all things under his feet. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The reason why Jesus has not yet put all things under his feet is because he still needs you and I to go out there and tell people, the sinners, and bring them into the kingdom so that when all things are placed under his feet, there'll be less people going to hell. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that's one of the reasons why you're stuck here and you're having to deal with trouble. Trouble is warfare. But see, you are not fighting in order to get victory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that we are to fight the good fight of faith, and that means that victory already belongs to you and I. Victory is already potentially ours. Jesus has already done everything he needs to do in order to ensure that you have victory. What you have to do now is enforce the word of God concerning whatever area the devil is attacking you in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. We looked at several scriptures on that. Let's go back to John chapter 12, verse 31. We won't look at all the scriptures that we looked at last week, but the Lord gave me some more revelation on this one. More insight that I want to share with y'all's, the youth peoples. John chapter 12, verse 31, it says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince, say prince.
Prince.
Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Is God the prince of this world? Who's the prince of this world?
Satan.
Because if God's the prince of this world, then there will be no judgment. Because who's the judge? Who's the judge?
Jesus.
Jesus is the judge. So how could Jesus, why would Jesus judge his own father? So the judgment of this world is talking, and the prince of this world, why would Jesus cast out his father from the world? Amen?
Amen.
So you need to understand that the reason why there's tribulation in this world is because Satan is still ruler of this world for a very short time being. Now his time is short. It's coming up, and it's pretty soon he will no longer be ruler. But see, God wants you and I to bring as many people into the kingdom as possible before that happens. Now, from your side, I want you to understand that this word cast out. It says the prince of this world
is cast out due to what Jesus did through the cross. Through the cross, his burial, and his resurrection, and his ascension. Praise God.
Amen.
Too many ministers stop at the cross. It doesn't stop at the cross. If it was only the cross, then Jesus would have been defeated, because he would have been still under the power of death. But it started at the cross, then it continued to his burial, and then his resurrection demonstrated his victory over the devil. Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah.
And his ascension demonstrates that he is above principalities and powers and everything that is named. Glory to God.
Amen.
And so, through his redemptive work, Satan, the prince of this world, has been cast out. Now, what does that word cast out mean?
Thrown out.
Thrown out? Yep, that would be a normal word. That would be the normal saying. But remember,
the Bible was not originally written in English. So sometimes the way, when it's translated, sometimes things aren't conveyed in its full meaning in the English, praise God.
Amen.
So
that's why God has raised up teachers such as myself. But cast out doesn't mean that Satan was necessarily cast out of the world, praise God.
Amen.
Because if he was cast out of the world, then you and I wouldn't be having these problems now, would we?
Amen.
We wouldn't have no trouble. There would be no tribulation. There would be joy and peace. You wouldn't have to worry about the healthcare website bombing out, because you wouldn't have any health problems.
Amen.
Amen. There would be no sickness, no disease. You wouldn't have to worry about buying car insurance, because there'd be no car accidents,
mm-hmm,
if Satan had been casted out. Praise God.
Amen.
You wouldn't have to give to support those poor people over there in the Philippines who just suffered a tidal tsunami, and it's sad. But we wouldn't have to worry about that if Satan had already been casted out, in the sense that we understand it. But the word cast out actually means is that in the heavenly courts, he no longer has any influence or power. Praise God.
Amen.
Is it? See, the word for cast out, it means, it's from some Greek word called ekbalo. I don't know Greek. I just looked these words up. But it says, it means to be deprived of the power and influence he exercises in the world. Praise God.
Amen.
The word cast out in this passage means that he is deprived of the power and influence that he exercises in the world. That means he has been defeated. Glory to God.
Amen.
See, when Jesus rose up from the dead, he told his disciples, he said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. That means that Satan has been deprived of any power and influence and authority, and therefore any influence of power or authority he has in our lives is that which we give him, and not because he has any right to it. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Before what Jesus did is perform his redemptive work on our behalf, Satan had rights that God, even though God is almighty, God is all powerful, God is also fair, praise God.
Yes.
And he even has to be fair to Satan. He can't strong arm Satan, because you know what would happen? If God was to destroy Satan and say, you know, I'm about fed up with you messing with my people, be dirt destroyed. You know what Satan would do? He would go down laughing. He'd say, see, I told you he's a tyrant. I told you he's mean. He's not even fair. He's picking on little old me. He would go down, and then that would cast doubt on everybody in the universe. Wouldn't that make you wonder, well, what if I rebel against God? Would he just destroy me just like that? So God has to be fair even to Satan, and he has to honor Satan's legal rights. Oh, but thank God that God had another law, the law of love. When Jesus sacrificed himself on our behalf and Satan killed an innocent man, then Satan destroyed every opportunity, every right, every stronghold he ever had over this world. Glory to God.
Amen.
By Satan killing our Lord, he destroyed himself. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Look at with me at Revelation chapter 12. I want you to see how this word cast out is used in relation to
the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And so as you begin to understand these things, you're going to have to learn to stand in your authority in Christ Jesus. You're going to have to learn to find out what the Word of God says about your particular situation, your particular circumstances. What promise does God have that connects to what you are dealing with in your life? And you begin to claim that promise over and above what Satan is trying to do in your life. Hallelujah. See, you're going to have problems. We all got issues. We all got problems. But the Word of God enables us to overcome each and every one of these because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
See, I believe in what is called the big, you know, some of my friends that's in this spiritual warfare movement, and I have no issues with spiritual warfare. We are to conduct spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. Amen. Ephesians 6 tells us that we are to deal with principalities and powers. But the way many of my friends conduct spiritual warfare, it seems that they are trying to fight in order to get victory over the devil, when victory already belongs to you, and your fight is to establish and enforce the victory that already belongs to you. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, I am not to fight a physical fight. I am to stand on God's word and let the devil know you are trespassing on my property. You are trespassing in my life where you do not belong. You have no authority here, and you need to cite the regulation from here. Praise God. Whenever somebody is stepping in the secular world, whenever somebody is overstepping their bounds, then what we do is we break out the books of regulations and say, see, you should not be doing this here because regulation 3-4.A says that you should not be doing this here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you need to go to the book of regulations, whenever Satan is invading your territory, and say, hey, Satan, Revelation chapter 12, verse start with 7, says that you've been casted out. So get out.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm preaching better than y'all amening me.
Amen.
All right. Revelation 12, it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. Say cast out.
Cast out.
Same word used in John chapter 12, verse 31. Cast out. Satan was cast out of heaven, praise God.
Amen.
And I'm going to explain to y'all more about this in a minute. Let's read on. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, was cast out. Say cast out.
Cast out.
He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out. Say cast out.
Yes.
His angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. This will bless you if you pay attention. And the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Say cast down.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. This sounds like Satan's just getting beaten left and right here. What? Why are y'all worried about a defeated, beaten down foe? Oh, glory to God. Now, listen, now, I want you to underline this part. Which accused them, talking about, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, verse 11. And they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb. Say overcame.
Overcame.
Are you brethren?
Mm-hmm.
You're your sister and you're also brethren, praise God.
Amen.
So it says that the brethren overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto the death.
Yes.
Now, you are an overcomer because of the blood of the Lamb, praise God.
Amen.
Jesus didn't need to shed his blood for himself. He shed his blood for you and me. His redemptive work is what purchased our deliverance and our freedom from the enemy. Now, listen to this. You know, Mary, Pastor Mary would appreciate this since she's a nurse. I think we got some CNAs here as well. I think Nancy's a CNA. But some of you medics will appreciate this. If Victoria's husband was here, he might appreciate this. He's probably preached on this. But anyway, I like something that Lillian B. Yeoman said in one of her books, His Healing Power. She says, human blood defends the body by actually conquering deadly microbes when they get into the circulation. The soldiers of the blood, tiny white corpuscles called leukocytes, stand up and fight them to the death. So the blood of the Lamb overcomes all Satan's power, sin, sickness, and death, if we will but believe in and use it. We are made priests unto God. As priests, it is our prerogative to use the blood. It will bring victory every time if we will do it in faith, for faith will never let go till Satan is beaten down under our feet. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, you know, Lillian B. Yeomans was a medical doctor who later became a missionary and a healing evangelist. And she basically points out that the white blood corpuscles destroys the sickness and disease that tries to come into our body. Praise God.
Amen.
And she uses that same analogy concerning the blood of Jesus. It's amazing the analogies that God gives us from nature that helps us to develop our faith and helps us to understand His redemptive work. Praise God.
Amen.
So the blood of Jesus can, just like the white corpuscles in your blood, can deal with all the stuff that Satan throws at you. Oh, and let me read to you another quote by another woman of God, Cornelius Newsom, from her book, The Life of Faith. She said, in Revelation 12:11, we are told that, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. If you want these quotes, I got them up on our Facebook page, by the way. Sin, temptation, sickness, disease, everything that comes from Satan is included in that. The blood overcame him. When anything is overcome, listen to this, when anything is overcome, it has no power. If you overcome something, it has no power, praise God.
Amen.
When Jesus overcame Satan, he deprived him of the power and influence he exercises in the world. Let me read on. This book says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Not merely by your word or their word, but by your testimony to what God has done, coupled with your faith in the blood, is overcoming accomplished. No matter in what way the enemy comes, whether discouragement, temptation, sickness, or any other way, he is overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Praise God.
Amen.
So your word of testimony has to be based on, if you want to overcome the enemy, the word of your testimony has to be based on what the word of God has done on your behalf. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You cannot give a, you know, in some of these testimony services we have in some of our traditional churches, you know, a couple weeks ago I was in another church and they had a testimony service and it was anything but based on the word of God. And mama don't go. I'm going, and if daddy don't go, I'm going. That's not a testimony. That's not even, I don't know what that is, but that ain't a testimony. I mean, we had one woman, I don't mean to laugh at people, but people do some crazy stuff and they think it's spiritual. She just going around. I mean, she did this for like maybe 20, 25 minutes, going to everybody's church. This is a whole testimony service and nobody stopped it. You know, I won't have that here. That ain't happening at Victoria's World, praise God.
Amen.
Do that here, I will stop you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We do things based on God's word. You're going to give a testimony, base it on the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
On what God's word has done for you. But when you place John chapter 12, verse 31 together with Revelation 12, you begin to understand the scenario. You see, think about God, heaven, courtroom. Y'all remember Job chapters 1 and 2 where the whole council came together and then the Bible says that Satan came among them, praise God. And see, so what the first thing God asks Satan, he says, where have you been? And Satan says, I've been to and fro about the earth, walking up and down in it. Peter tells us later on that he seeks whom he may devour. And so then, God, and this is the literal Hebrew translation, says, "So, have you been targeting my servant Job? Have you been trying to go after him? Have you been trying to destroy him?" And immediately, Satan said, see, that's what that word considered, that's what exactly what it means. It means that has he been in your rifle scope? You've been trying to shoot at him? So when you get that, you'll understand it better, because some people read that and they say, ooh, God brought Job to Satan's attention so that God can destroy Job and all that stuff. That's not what it's saying. God doesn't try to dangle you out there like a carrot before Satan and try to destroy you. God already knew. How many of y'all know that God knows everything?
Yeah.
Amen.
God already knew that Satan was trying to destroy Job. Mm-hmm. And so immediately, Satan says to God, look what you've done for him. You've given him all this prosperity, you've blessed him, and you got all these angels protecting him,
yeah.
So I can't even get to him.
Yeah.
He says that the only reason why Job is serving you is because you blessed him. In other words, he's accusing God and telling God that the only reason why anybody will serve God is if God blessed them. Praise God.
Amen.
So that's why Satan had certain rights, and this is before Jesus died for you, me, and Job. And so Satan had certain rights to go before the throne of God and before the council of God and make accusations against all God's people. Praise God.
Amen.
And so then, that's why God had to go ahead and say, okay, test me. You know why that can't happen to you and me today? You know why Job's experience cannot happen to you and me today? Because Satan has been cast down! He has no more right to go before God. He has no more right to accuse you before God. Back then, he had a right to accuse Job. He had the right because Jesus had not yet died to redeem Job. But now, Satan has been cast down. He has no more power, no more influence in the heavenly courts, and he can no longer accuse the brethren before God day and night. Praise God.
Amen.
So you can take the word of God and the blood of Jesus, and you can stand against him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, let me read John chapter 12, verse 31 again to you, but let me read it from the Good News Translation. It says, "Now is the time for this world to be judged. Now the ruler of this world will be overthrown." I like that translation better. See, cast out can confuse you, because it makes you sound like he's been casted out of the earth when he wasn't, because he's still in the world, praise God.
Amen.
The Bible says that he's still the God of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. But I like this passage because it says that the ruler of this world will be overthrown. Remember what Jesus said when he talking to the Pharisees? He said that the strong man protects his house. But then when a stronger than he comes in and takes over, then he can bind that strong man. Well, Jesus bound the strong man, praise God.
Amen.
He overthrew him. He rendered him and made him powerless. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says that Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Praise God.
Amen.
So that means that word destroy doesn't mean obliterate. It means to render them powerless and useless. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we're dealing with a defeated enemy. Why are you whining about your problems? Stand against them problems in the name of Jesus. Be word focused. When a problem comes up, don't magnify the problem. Don't put a magnifying glass in front of the problem and make it bigger than it really is. I don't know about you, but maybe I shouldn't say this because somebody might listen to this from my office. let me use an analogy. How many of y'all have ever worked with people that make a problem bigger than what it really is?
Mm-hmm.
Or what we call making a mountain out of a molehill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes I deal with people, and I mean a small issue, and they gotta have meetings and stuff all over this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, guys, it's simple. Let's just do this, this, and this. And they get upset with me because I tell them, no, it's simple. They just think, well, you know, Troy is just so laid back and blah, blah, blah. No, I just don't see the problem to be as big and as magnified as you make it out to be. I know that it can be dealt with, praise God. And that's, and a lot of people, they just magnify the problem in some of these offices, but we do that in our own personal lives many times. We, even though a problem might seem big to us, we often forget that our God is bigger than our problems. Hallelujah. We often forget that His word has miraculous power and authority that is able to deal with each and every issue that we confront. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is not just going to come in and deal with it. He has given you free will, and He expects you to exercise the authority He's delegated to you. But once you begin to speak, then God is obligated to move and to send His angels to ensure that His word comes to pass. Because He said that my word shall not return unto me void. He says that I will accomplish the thing in which to I sent it. Praise God.
Amen.
He said to Jeremiah, He said, I've hastened my word to perform it. Stop getting caught up in your little bitty bitty problems and remember that God is bigger than the problem. Glory to God.
Amen.
Let me show you just a couple more scriptures. There's a few I would love to show you, but I don't want to keep you here too long, because from the amens I'm getting, I don't think y'all totally with me. But the thing is that I am obligated to teach you whether you are fully with me or not. If nothing else, you're going to be accountable for the word that you have had the opportunity to hear and pay attention to. But Romans chapter 8. I do believe we ought to learn to start taking notes, too, because sometimes you forget stuff. Romans 8, starting from verse 31. Y'all forgive me. The Holy Spirit just told me, He said they're listening to the word. That's why they're not amening so much. So, all right, y'all forgive me. All right, praise God. All right. 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Glory to God. I love that passage. He has spared not His own Son. See, Jesus. This is all about the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, what He did on your behalf. He has spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Notice that the redemptive work of Christ not only involves His death, but His resurrection and His ascension on high. Praise God.
Amen.
And now he is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. See, Satan can't accuse you anymore, because Jesus is now your advocate. Satan can't come up there and that's why he's been cast out. That's why through the blood of Jesus, he's been cast down to the earth, because Jesus is now earth's representative, praise God. See, Satan was the representative of earth because the earth had become his through what Adam and Eve had done. But now Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth, and so now the earth belongs to him, and so now Jesus represents man on God's behalf and not Satan anymore.
Amen.
And Jesus is not up there accusing you. Jesus is saying, Father, I died for that man. And the Father, and this is what the Father wants. The Father loves you. That's why He sent His Son in the first place, to redeem you from Satan's hands, praise God.
Amen.
From Satan's legal hold on you. and now all you got to do is declare the word of God that's against him. Now let's look at this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Now all these are problems, ain't they?
Yeah.
Aren't these problems?
Yeah, problems.
These are problems. These are some big problems. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Praise God.
Amen.
God loves you. Say, God loves me.
I love you.
Oh, hallelujah. So this word separate, how can we can be separated from Christ? It is talking about divorce. That's the same word. That word separate is the same word that is used for divorce in other passages of scripture. God is saying that no problem, no issue, no situation will cause Jesus Christ to divorce you. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus is in this thing until death do us part. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, the same thing goes with Jesus as it goes with those of us who are normal husbands and wives. In other words, if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is going to hang on to you as long and as much as he can because he died for you. He shed precious blood for you. He finds you to be valuable. And so he's not going to, just because you're having issues, he is not going to run to the divorce courts. Praise God.
Amen.
Instead, he has overcome them for you. He has made you to share in his victory. Because Jesus has victory, you have been made more than a conqueror. Praise God.
Amen.
How many of y'all remember that separation from God is actually being in Satan's territory? See, God is light. And if you separate from God, then you are in death. Or the Bible tells us that Satan had the power of death. Praise God.
Amen.
But you are no longer in Satan's territory, you are no longer in his domain because you are not separated from God. You are connected to God in Christ Jesus. And because of that connection you have to Jesus Christ, oh hallelujah, you are more than a conqueror. Say, I'm more than a conqueror.
I'm more than a conqueror.
Oh, I like this commentary by Herschel H. Hobbs on Romans. He says, we are more than conquerors is the translation of, I don't understand this word, but basically he says that this word can be translated as super conquerors. How many of y'all like watching superhero movies? Anybody seen the last Superman movie? I did, I love it. We are super conquerors. Say, I'm a super conqueror. You are a super overcomer. Praise God.
Amen.
Let me show you. I just want to read this to you from a couple of different translations. We're going to get ready to close out. But I hope you're getting something out of this today.
Yeah,
glory to God. This one's coming from the New Living Translation. It says, can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destituted or in danger or threatened with death? As the scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Praise God. See, no matter what the problem, you know, sometimes we go through problems and we don't think God is with us and he loves us. God says that none of these is an indicator of my love. Praise God. None of these indicate whether I love you or not. You're going to have these problems. But he said, despite all this, you have overwhelming victory. Praise God.
Amen.
And look at this. He goes on to say, and I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Nobody can cause God to divorce us. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, I like that. Let me read to you from the easy to read version. Can anything separate us from Christ's love? Can trouble or problems or persecution separate us from his love? If we have no food or clothes or face danger or even death, will that separate us from his love? As the scripture says, for we are in danger of death all the time. People think we are worth no more than sheep to be killed. But in all these troubles, we have complete victory through God, who has shown his love for us. Praise God.
Amen.
Let me read to you one more translation, the New Life Version. It says, who can keep us away from the love of Christ? Can trouble or problems? Can suffering wrong from others or having no food? Can it be because of no clothes or because of danger or war? The holy writings say, because of belonging to Jesus, we are in danger of being killed all day long. We are thought of as sheep that are ready to be killed. But we have power. Now I want you to really listen to this part. But we have power over all these things through Christ who loves us so much. Praise God.
Amen.
You have power over every problem, over every circumstance, over every situation that you can that confronts you or that you confront. And notice that it's all focused on the redemptive work of Christ and the love that God has for you. Say, God loves me.
God loves me.
Oh, you know, that we need to, sometimes we need to sing that song, Jesus loves me, this I know. Why? Not because of what I'm going through, not because of the problems that I'm facing, but because the Bible tells me so. Praise God. When I'm going through a problem, that's not the time for me to start crying and say, God, why don't you love me? Why don't you care about me? Why? Where are you, God? No. The time is to start declaring, hey, this may be going on, but nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That man died for me. That man went through torture for me. That man was buried for me, and he was raised from the dead for me. How dare I ever say, why don't you love me? He has proven his love. Like one man said when he asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And Jesus said, this much. And then he died. Praise God.
Amen.
What a love. What a great, fantastic love. So you need to stop having a problem perspective and have a position perspective. Praise God.
Amen.
Your victorious position in Christ Jesus. You begin to have a position perspective, a victory viewpoint. I like I make those words up. Have a victory viewpoint. So if anybody else use them, remember they got them from me. You need to have a victory viewpoint and a position perspective, and you need to stand in your victorious position in Christ Jesus against the devil. Praise God.
Amen.
I want to show y'all just one more scripture. I know y'all ready to go home, but I'm going to show this to you anyway because I'm pastor. I ain't coming next week. That's on you. I still love you. Nothing can separate the love of God that I have for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. John chapter 17. I'm telling you, if you really start to grasp these truths, I'm trying to get this book done, God's Word, Devil Destruction Power,
mm-hmm.
How you can overcome the devil through God's Word. I'm trying to keep that finished. It was a book I wrote several years ago that I'm totally rewriting because I think I did a lousy job the first time around. I thought I did such a terrible job that I just took it out, totally off the market, took it out of print. But now we're going to rewrite it with some of these truths that I'm teaching y'all today. So y'all get the benefit of getting these truths right here in person. John chapter 17. Begin at verse 13. It's our last scripture, so pep up a little bit. Wake up. You ain't been in church all week. Most of y'all been watching TV all week, so you need to get some more feeding. Praise God.
Amen.
Some of y'all been hanging around with your friends, listening to dirty jokes and all kinds of other foolishness. You've been arguing with your friends, you've been arguing with your neighbors, you've been arguing with your brothers and sisters. So you need to take, you need to not be falling asleep on me when I'm trying to give you something that's going to help you throughout the rest of this week. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you can get an extra boost too if you come on Tuesday. All right. Verse 13, it says, "And now come I to thee." This is Jesus. He's in the garden. He's praying. He's about to die. And he's talking to his Father. He says, "Now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Mm-hmm. I have given them thy word," praise God. God has given you his word. "And the world has hated them." Notice why you have trouble in the world. You have trouble in the world because the world hates you, praise God.
Amen.
The ruler of this world hates you. Don't think that you can compromise with Satan. He hates your guts. He does not like you. "And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world."
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why I tell you, the reason why you got trouble in this world is because Jesus is not of this world. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. He has no part in this. Satan is the one ruling this world. Satan is the one causing the problems. They are not ordained of God. God is not sending you trial. God is not sending you tribulations. God is not trying to destroy your life. This is the issues you are dealing with because the world hates you. It hates Christians. It hates born-again people. You see us getting mocked in movies. Some of them Hollywood movies that y'all watch, don't you ever cringe when you see them people mocking us? Oh, it just, I don't even watch some of this stuff. That's why I can't even watch TV no more. I can't even watch the news sometimes the way they treat us. I mean, you know, they put us down because they call us anti-gay and all this other stuff. Oh, I love gay people, praise God.
Amen.
I don't endorse their sin though.
Nope.
I'm not gonna perform any gay marriages. I will not do it. A Methodist, I was just listening to a video yesterday, a Methodist preacher performed a gay wedding for his son. For his son. Yeah, I agree with you, Mars. And the reason why, because my poor son was crying about his struggle with homosexuality, so I wanted to comfort him. After all, he's my son. You know what? I would tell my son, get delivered. Amen.
Amen.
I love you. I will do everything I can for you, but you need deliverance. And I will do everything I can to get you delivered. But I will not perform a gay wedding for you or anybody else. I love my children. I love them more than anything, but they will tell you, I will not compromise. I will not sin for them, praise God. I will not do it. The world hates you. But you know what the world did? I was listening to this on a newscast, and the news people, the liberal news media was commending this man. Oh, he's such a wonderful minister.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. See now, and people like me, they'll say, see, you need to get with the times. You're going through that obsolete book called the Bible.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I will stick with this archaic obsolete book because this has changed my life.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not compromising with the world because they hate me anyway. Look, let's go on now. Verse 15, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest protect them from the evil one." Praise God.
Amen.
"They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Praise God.
Amen.
The reason why, now let me explain a couple of things from this passage. First, notice the emphasis that Jesus places on his word. He's given you his word. You are still in the world, but he's given you his word. He warned you that the world is going to hate you. He warned you that the evil one is in this world, but he tells you that God is protecting you from the evil one, praise God. But you are to stand up against the devil by using the word of God and speaking the word of God against him, and that is how you enforce the protection of God upon you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You've been left in the world to be an influence upon the world because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Praise God.
Amen.
So you are still in this world so that you can have an influence on the world, and the world should be seeing you victorious.
Amen.
If the world sees you cussing and drinking and smoking and doing what they're doing, then no wonder they don't want nothing to do with your God.
Mm-hmm.
If the world sees you being a hater, treating people, gossiping and stuff like that, talking down about people, then no wonder they don't want your God. But when you show them you are different, they may treat you bad, they may persecute you, but I guarantee you, and I can tell you this from experience, that when trouble comes, when they ain't got nobody else to turn to, you know who they're gonna go to?
You.
Thank you, Michelle. They gonna come to you. I've had it happen time and time and time again. He's just a Jesus freak. He's just too religious. You know, it ain't no fun. But soon as trouble come, Troy, can you pray with me? And you know what I do? Pray with them. And God brings them the victory. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you can be an influence in your area. You can be an influence in the world. And you can bring people out of the world into Christ Jesus because Jesus loves them so much. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus. Let's take a moment to praise him. I want y'all to, y'all, listen, in the Bible, when Joshua and the Israelites was about to deal with the enemy, God told them to shout, and that would bring the walls down. When David was dealing with Goliath, he ran towards him and he shouted, praise God. When Jehoshaphat was surrounded by the enemy, they shouted, praise God.
Amen.
Learn to shout against your problems.
Amen.
Begin to speak right now and say, I shout against my problems in the name of Jesus.
I shout against my problems in the name of Jesus.
I speak the word of God.
I speak the word of God.
And you are doomed, Satan.
And you are doomed, Satan.
You are overcome, Satan.
You are overcome, Satan.
These troubles will not last always.
Will not last always.
They will not separate me.
They will not separate
from the love of God.
From the love of God.
They're only temporary. You are defeated.
You are defeated.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Bow your head. Close your eyes. Glory to God.